So uncomfortably hot. Audio's live.
Audio's live. All right, cool.
Yeah, audio's live. It is so uncomfortably hot. It's like it's got that summertime heat, but it's been off and on raining since last night. So it's humid and muggy and ugh.
Episode 500, Daniel.
500.
Can you believe it?
Yeah, I can. Why not?
Yeah?
Yeah.
Did you expect to be at 500?
No, I would have figured you'd kick me off.
Okay, that's a great way to start the conversation. Let's go. Let's go.
No, Let's go. I didn't think that far ahead.
Okay, why would you think I'd kick you off?
I was just joking.
I want to dive into this conversation.
I was just joking.
That's cool. I thought you'd want to leave.
Why? Well, my life is hectic lately. I think this entire year so far, I've been just like curveballs being thrown at me left and right.
I mean, I think we could say that for the both of us to some degree.
Yeah, I guess.
Yeah.
I get to buy a new car. I don't know. I'm not really excited about that.
Do you want to talk about that?
We can.
Okay.
I don't know. I had car problems. So a couple weeks ago, like my AC decided to just shut off. And I'm like, mm-hmm. Okay, it wasn't blowing air.
Okay.
Which is nothing. I'm like, oh, okay, that's great. So I've been like toggling it and then it would kick on. Air's cold. It'd be blowing.
Okay.
And then it'll be fine. And then it'll kick off again. So I scheduled to go have my car looked at this morning. And I was like, oh yeah, so this AC evaporator, it has a leak and it has to be replaced, but we need to keep your car for like 2 to 3 days.
Okay.
And I have to rent a car. I'm like, okay, that's great. And then, I don't know. She's like, oh, well, you have to also replace your shock absorbers. I'm like, oh, really? Yeah, they're $300 each. Okay.
Wow.
How much is the part for the evaporator? Oh, that's $700. Oh.
Okay, so you have a Nissan
Altima, 2012 Nissan Altima. So it's like 7 years old.
Gotcha. Okay.
And, yeah, just kept adding up because there's something else about my ball joints have to be changed too. And I'm like, really? Because my car feels like it drives really smoothly. And then I was like thinking, I'm like, I also like have a lot of wear in my car. It goes everywhere.
Do you go to Nissan Official for your stuff or you have someone that does the stuff for you?
Nissan's Official. Like I went to go get another quote and it wasn't any cheaper. It was actually cost more. So I'm like, usually when you go directly with the dealership to go and get your car worked on, costs more. No, got the second quote. I'm like, that makes no difference. All right, never mind. And, you know, I was talking to the mechanic. He's like, I think you should just buy a new car. You should just have this car and just drive it till it can't be driven anymore and just go buy another car. I'm like, oh, yeah. Because it was going to be like somewhere after the parts and the labor and the time, it was going to be around just under $4,500. I was like, no. Considering I bought that car after my accident in 2016, so the insurance paid for like 2/3 of the car, and I only paid $4,000 out of my pocket. I was like, yeah. And the blue book value for it, I think, is like $5,000 or $6,000. I'm like, $5,000 or $6,000, somewhere in between there if it's a really good functioning car. Currently, if I have to replace all those things, it's not a good functioning car. So, yeah.
Yeah, it's a lot. That's a lot of work.
That's future DJ's problem in like 2 weeks.
Yeah, I have some things to repair on mine right now because check engine light's on and it won't go off. So I have to find someone I really depend on to look at it thoroughly and give me an actual honest situation with it. So there's that. But yeah, so that's the car stuff. So let's get back to us as the show.
Okay.
Let's go back to that. Okay, so just I guess by way of intro, guys, you're listening to episode 500. We're here. My name is Andrew.
And I'm Danny.
This is a source for tech, gaming, and entertainment news. Head over to theshowradio.info. Once again, that's theshowradio.info. And check out our past shows while you're there. Subscribe and tell a friend about the show. We're pretty much on every particular platform, whether that's Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you decide to get your podcast, we're there. So thanks for tuning in. Thanks for checking out the show. Also want to say, Daniela, I don't have the chat up. So interrupt me at any time and let me know what's happening there. And the notes I can pull up on my phone or look to my left and we can go from there. So 340, right? That's historically the first show that we did together as a team.
Yes.
Right. Prior to that, we did, you know, interviews and other conversations, and, you know, we had other pleasant exchanges before that. And we've supported each other as each other's platform from afar, whether that was through a comment or through a like or, you know, that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. That's happened, you know, I think at this point we're probably 5+ years in, maybe more. Right. I could be off on that.
I didn't keep track. But yeah, that sounds about right, though.
That sounds about right. So as the story goes, prior to coming on the show to be a part of the team, I was kind of like nervous in asking you. We actually did that through a Discord conversation, if I remember correctly. That was you were driving home or something like that.
I was driving home and you wanted to chat in Discord because you were getting that all set up and learning that. I'm like, okay, sure.
Right. So we're doing that. And we did the show in Discord for a while. And then we moved it to the other platforms. And it was your idea. You spearheaded the video section in terms of transitioning from where we were on the Discord stuff to the Twitch platform, because I didn't want to do it right away, but you insisted a few times.
I was gonna say, like, that's a nice way of putting it.
Hey, I'm all about diplomacy here, okay? And I agreed, and we ended up doing that. We did the YouTube stuff for a while. We did the Facebook stuff for a while. There was a lot of mishmash in terms of what the current form, where we're at today, right? I think those things are great, and I can talk about my highlights of that, but I know we have notes and stuff like that, and I'm sure I'm getting ahead of myself because I'm excited that we're here. And as you said, I didn't kick you out and you didn't leave. So there's that. So that's the kind of like an intro, you know, a condensed version of the journey to present day. We can kind of dig into that a little bit more later on. So initial thoughts before we get to the notes, and then we can kind of jump on that, or you can share some thoughts on what I just shared.
Don't put me on the spot like that.
Why not?
I don't care if it's been 160 episodes with me. Don't put me on the spot. No,
this is a spot.
It's been fun. I don't know. I still have fun as much as I did the first episode. Maybe just a little bit less nervous each time.
Okay.
But I don't think you ever really get rid of that. I think that's a good feeling when you have like some nervousness to add to that bundle.
So I mentioned to someone a while ago when I knew we were approaching this particular episode that I was going to do like an HR moment with you.
An HR moment?
Yeah, absolutely.
What do you mean an HR moment? Oops.
Like have I been good to you in terms of... professionalism, you know, do you feel, you know, comfortable and free to express yourself in any way, you know, what, you know, that kind of conversation. I wanted to have that conversation with you.
Well, I would tell you, you haven't been mean to me.
Okay, that's good to know.
You've always been kind to me.
That's good to
know. I like
how
you say professionalism and I actually tab out of the wrong screen here. I'm like, oh, that just screwed up this. Yep, I'm a pro here. I know what I'm doing.
Pro here, that's what we do. So there's that. So I wanted to have that conversation because that matters to me. You know that you're as comfortable as ever, right? Whatever that looks like, to freely express yourself in terms of content that I do not prevent you in any way, shape, or form to create what you want to create, whether it's in this space or whatever. I never want to be in a position where I feel like I'm, this is getting really serious right now, restricting you from growing in any way, shape, or form. And if you feel like I've held back in any way, shape, or form information from you, which I don't think I have, but I think we need to have these conversations. I wanted to have this conversation because I think it's healthy. I think it's important. And I think it's about growth. So I definitely wanted to air out a little bit on this particular episode.
I think that's good, actually, like advice for like everything and anything, like anything that you have, like a relationship, a friendship, you always have to have those conversations. It's not just between you and me. It's not just because we're on the show, but I think that's just great for like friends, for couples, for business partners. You gotta have like regular, if not monthly, quarterly, whatever, me, whenever you feel like you need to get that out there, it's good.
Right. Okay. So I have another question because I've been thinking about this, right?
Okay.
As a team member, right? Where do you feel that I need growth? Since you've seen me for a long time, we've talked behind the scenes about a lot of different things. We've shared our conversations with families, you know, our families, you know, different things has gone on with our families since we've started recording together. Based on what you've seen, how I behave on camera, off, you've seen that. Mm. On audio, off. On social, off. How close are those personalities, if you will? And where do you believe that I need to grow?
That's hard.
No, it's not.
Yeah, it is. Because talk about like thinking about it.
Talk about it. Because I want to be better. I want to be better. And it's not all roses all the time. Well, I mean, most of the time it's been for us.
If I had to pick something combined, I think.
Yes.
I don't know. I'm like speechless. I thought I had something ready. I really don't.
I was about to be like, okay, where's my pen?
I don't know. Like,
where's the paper?
You leave me so speechless. Put me on the spot like this.
I need to know because I think these conversations are important. I think they're important. They're healthy. And we didn't rehearse this, and we don't rehearse anything that we record unless, well, I mean, to some degree, we know what the notes are, but outside of that, that's it. But these are some of the things that I've been thinking about.
We're pretty transparent on things. So I don't.
Okay. Very good. That's good. That's good. That's refreshing. That's refreshing. So we got notes. We got notes.
They don't have to throw me curveballs too.
Wait, curveballs for you?
Yeah, don't be doing that. He has his own secret notes that he puts on the side.
Yeah, it's like right here. No, it's not. There's no notes. No, that's good because I want to make sure that I'm phrasing this correctly. If we never add any other members to the team, right? I want to make sure that either you leave or stay, right? That I did the best that I could with the information that I had to give you in terms of all the stuff that we've learned and, you know, together. And I think that I constantly think about those things to make sure, am I pouring enough information to you to make sure that you're prepared, whether you decide to do, you know, your own podcast or, you know, you decide to branch off into other content and stuff like that, which you already have other things that you're already doing, right? Because you've been doing Twitch for 6+, 7+, whatever it has been, right? Before I even started trying to figure this thing out as far as Twitch is concerned. So you're not necessarily new to the scene as it relates to creating content, but I wanted to make sure that as we grow together, I didn't hold back from giving you anything that I had.
No, I think any of my shortcomings come from myself that I inflict upon myself. Not purposely.
Okay.
Semi-purposely? I don't know. Okay. I'm just amazed with everything that happened in May with the charity and then joining the cookout for their American Pacific Islander American Month. That's a really long name. I probably said it wrong too, which is terrible. I said yes to a lot of things and somehow, they didn't necessarily collide, but I burnt myself out so quickly. I was like, oh, can May be done? I'm so
done
happy it's due.
While?
No, I just needed some time for like a breather to readjust my sleep. Work threw me a curveball by having me work smack dab in the middle of the day. Mm-hmm. And it's just like my sleep schedule was off. I couldn't sleep when I should be sleeping. I was sleeping when I should be awake. I'm like, oh, man, let's just May be done. Let's get to June. I'm happy to June because we got E3 coming up and I just try and find that excitement of buying a new car now.
And it's interesting around this time we're having the same conversation. I'm packing early just in case. I'll probably be on standby sometime this weekend. So I'm just waiting to hear back when I'm on a plane, what time, what day. So that's where we are right now.
Oh, I got to pack. I was thinking today was Friday for whatever weird reason. Like, I know Friday. I was going through the motions of just like, oh, today's Monday. This is why I scheduled for today. Go and take my car in, get this stuff done. But for whatever reason, just the feeling and the vibe felt like a Friday to me.
Mm.
I was like way too chill, way too relaxed. And then like it just dawned on me. I'm like, wait, I have to pack in 4 days or less. And I think I'm considering changing my flight to a day earlier. See what that's going to cost like, because I don't know. I'm just excited for the Xbox briefing that I got invited to. Like, I just never didn't think so. I don't even know how I got invited to that or how that ended up in my email. I was so excited. Like, I think I got it yesterday, last night, or at least I noticed it was in my inbox late last night. And I was so excited. Right. And I was like, oh, I'm going to be on a plane.
I'm going to be on a plane. So if you decide to do that, I'll probably land, go to wherever I'm going to end up sleeping, wherever that is right now, because there's two spots in question right now. Watch it in the room post, and then I'll probably link up with you afterwards. So we'll be in touch in regards to that.
Yeah, I'll let you know if I change my flights. I got to look at it. I got to also find and see if I can ask if I can come a day earlier to have somewhere to sleep or something, or somebody's couch I can crash on for like one night.
Right.
But we'll see. I don't know. I'm just super excited. Like, it was like one of the E3 emails I was not expecting to get at all. And the fact that it's there, I'm like, yay!
Definitely. Congratulations on that. Definitely congratulations on that. So a couple of things that we have for notes. We do have some notes, specifically big items, big ticket items, if you want to say that. Death Stranding, Call of Duty Modern Warfare, Cyberpunk 2077, I think that's the number. I want to briefly talk about that this year. It's definitely different than last year as it relates to Cyberpunk, so I'm excited about that for us.
Yep.
Looking back, we can do some memories. Which we kind of did at the top. I definitely want to dive into that a little bit more. And then E3 stuff, loose ends, and then we'll close out. So episode 500, I believe we would get here. I didn't know how, because the show has seen so many different transitions of solo to guest spots to guest co-hosts to interviews only to, you know, where we are now in terms of having you and I do the show together on a regular basis. So there's been so many different, things that has taken place, some disappointments, some highlights, some lowlights, and all that. But one thing I could definitely say for me personally is I always look forward to record the show with you. I think it's been a joy to record the last 100 plus episodes that we recorded together. I think that's definitely been a joy for me. I always look forward to those things. When we can't do it, it's kind of like it's a bummer because we have such great chemistry, and I appreciate those times. So there's that. And I'll stop there.
It's a journey.
Yeah.
That's what it is. So what fun is a journey and an adventure if it doesn't have its ups and downs and learning experiences? It's how you grow. God, I'm excited. I'm happy.
I have a question I want to ask you, but that one definitely has to be offline, because okay. that could cause a fire. That could cause a fire, you know. I'm not doing that.
Now I'm nervous. Now we're just never gonna stop recording.
I'm keeping it super diplomatic. No, it's you'll see why I have to wait to ask you this particular thing.
Okay.
So that's what's going on with that. Okay, so a couple of things I did see besides the things I mentioned. Google camera for the S9, that has been a big deal for me the last couple of weeks because we talked about the Pixel 3. And if any comments come in the chat, just let me know and then we'll address them pretty quickly. We talked about the Pixel 3a, right? Last couple of weeks, we talked about the OnePlus. And one of my concerns, one of the things that I wanted to see was if it was possible to get the actual Google camera software onto our phones, right? If that was even possible. So I know the pretty much a lot of softwares, a lot of launchers you can add to your Android phone, but I didn't know if there was an actual Google camera software available that was successfully extracted from the Google phone to put it on other phones like a Samsung or a OnePlus or anything like that. And I found one. And the one I've been particularly using is the one for the Note 9. And if you've seen my IG the last couple of shots, maybe 3-4 shots, I've been using that particular camera on my phone, and it's night and day. It's night and day. And this particular camera is pretty much the Google camera that you find on the Pixel 2 or 3 or whatever. I know someone who has a Pixel 2, and I looked at their camera software, and it's like, it's identical. All the settings are identical. Everything is exactly the same. So I was, you know, sharing with her that I have her camera on my phone, and she, you know, she was inquiring how I was able to do that. I explained to her, blah, blah, blah. And, essentially now I have the Google camera working on my S9. Okay. And it's amazing. It's fantastic. It's amazing. Whatever word that's awesome. That's what it is.
Is that on the Google Play Store?
It's not on the Google Play Store. So
okay. I looked up Google camera. I'm like, I have Google Lens.
No, it's not. So I have to send it to you and give you the instructions, and then you'll be able to put it on your phone as well. And it's night and day. You're like, if you see some of my recent 3 or 4 shots that was taken with that camera, my first selfie shot, I kind of asked, you know, what camera do you think this was taken on? It's actually the Google camera running on my phone. It does the night sight like they talk about. And one thing I want to make sure I mention before I forget is the only other company right now that has a phone out that's using the same computational technology for their phone camera is Asus. Outside of Asus and Google, there's no other company that's using the same computational algorithms for their camera software. So now you couple that with the fact that Asus has the best camera sensor available on any phone right now, and it's priced very, very competitively, and you can probably add a Google camera on there as a port later on. So that's a whole nother conversation. But they're using inherently on their phone camera system, the Asus, they're using the same computational algorithm technology that Google uses on their Google camera software. So that's just extra information just to have that. So yeah, I can definitely give you the information for that. I did post the link in the Discord for the stuff. There's a particular folder thing that you have to do. You have to create a folder inside a folder, add the XMLs, and then install the thing. And you know, so that there's a little process to it, but once you get it on, it's popping.
Hey Ruru, thank you for joining us for episode 500. I'll give it a try. Right now, I'm trying to figure out, because I told you earlier that I was, I bought that gimbal.
Yeah.
The Zhiyun Smooth 4. It's really cool, but really complicated at the same time. So I'm still trying to mess around with that and figure it out.
Is it powered?
What do you mean? It's powered. It's like it has, you have to internally charge it. And I think it holds a charge for like 10 hours. It also has an option of being able to charge your phone, but I don't think I will really be using that. Just so that I can extend the lifespan for at least a day for the gimbal. Ruru asks, have we seen this? It's an article by CNET of Samsung and AMD partner up for mobile GPUs.
Is that the Radeon thing?
The two will work on mobile graphic techs for phones. I believe it is.
Yeah. I briefly saw it earlier today. So we can add that in the show notes. That's fine.
I didn't. Graphics system, let me read this here. Samsung and AMD are teaming up to develop mobile graphics using AMD Radeon GPU technology. The multi-year partnership will see two develop advanced graphic technologies and solutions. The graphic system will be high performance and ultra-low power and aimed at mobile devices, including smartphones. Radeon graphics are already being used across PCs. Yeah, we know that one. So it's for you to have those really, really great, great graphics for your mobile games so far.
I mean, I'm down with that. I mean, if we're going to see that integrated into future phones. But see, the thing is, you said Samsung, right?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how long I'm going to have a Samsung phone. especially the fact that I've been really considering Asus or Asus Things as my next tech because I really dig what they do. So I think that's exciting. If I continue to do the Samsung route, I like OnePlus, I like Asus. I probably won't do the Google phone because we can get the stuff outside of that, you know, package, if you will. But Samsung has been great. I mean, we've seen ever since the S3, we've had the phones. So it's been really good.
I'm such a hardcore like product loyalist in a way. Like if it works well for me, like I have a hard time changing and moving on to something else. So my last like 3 or 4 phones have been Samsung. The one before that, I think it was the HTC Thunderbolt. Yeah, I don't see. I don't know. Maybe one day. Depends on whatever Verizon's carrying.
So do you mix and match? Like, do you have a tablet that's something else? Or is
no,
it
I don't even have a tablet.
Okay.
I can't quite justify me owning a tablet right now.
What about your motherboard? What motherboard are you using? What your internal to your PC?
All Intel.
It's all Intel. Okay.
Yeah. Intel, NVIDIA. Yeah,
I think I got sold on
actually, my Asus. Motherboard is Asus.
Yeah. I got sold on them when I think I either bought the Nexus 7 tablet, which still works perfectly, right, to this day. And then I think either that from there we went to the laptops. And then they were on clearance when we got them, I think 2010, 2011 or something like that. So we've had them for a few years, almost 10 years now. And that Asus runs the Plex server still.
All 3 of my monitors are Asus.
They're good. They make good stuff. They make good stuff. I think that I definitely want to see what they have at E3. If they have any like laptops or any, you know, keyboard stuff. I don't know what else they do in relation to peripherals, if you will. But I want to see what else they have showing, what they're showcasing and stuff, if they are.
Hey there, Taco.
At the show. Taco, what's up, man? Thanks for coming through. Thanks for hanging out. So there's some of the things that do you want to do Death Stranding soon or later?
Whenever you want to slide right into that.
Okay, so let's talk about sliding the DMs. So let's talk about Cyberpunk. Okay, so last year was a mess when it came to Cyberpunk. Not because Cyberpunk was a mess. Let me be clear. Okay, it was a mess because we were trying to figure out how on earth we were able, if we're going to be able to get into the actual showcase that they were doing for Cyberpunk. And they had some statue that was pretty dope, yep. Right? Or something, right? And we're like, oh man, we wish we can get that and stuff like that. And we woke up pretty early one of the days to, and that didn't work out. But this year, it's a different conversation. What's going on this year, Daniela?
We got in!
We got in this year.
We don't have to fight the crowds. We actually have a predetermined slot there already. We don't have to fight anybody. We don't have to wake up early and stand in a ridiculous line to be on standby in hopes to get there and keep bugging them.
Yeah.
We're just there.
So hype. And I think that one of the ways I want to prepare for that is watch the 54-minute thing that they showed, again. which was held for like a couple of months later, right? I think.
Yeah,
we didn't see that right away. It was post E3 that they showed that, you know. But I'm glad that they were able to release it. We're able to check it out, and so it's been good times. It's been good times. Email's been flying. You know, I think. Never mind. So emails have been flying.
Oh, okay.
Emails have been flying, right? So that's exciting. I think this is not particularly in the notes, but there's actually a PepCom coming up by the time I get back from E3. And then I think the 15th is the Father's Day Sunday, right? I think that falls into that. So June is going to be crazy. And then June into July, we'll be doing a road trip down south and stuff like that. So a whole bunch of stuff. So summer's going to be busy for us. My wife is going to go in Cuba on a cruise. She's doing that and stuff. So it's crazy, but E3's right around the corner, literally. And a lot of news came out in terms of the Modern Warfare stuff, which I'm excited about. It's Modern Warfare, but the biggest thing that we saw recently, which we'll jump right into, Daniela, is the 9-minute thing with Death Stranding. So I'll let you jump on that, and then I'll add bits in between.
So I'm going to say, before, of all game trailers I've ever watched, the one that's always left a lasting impression on me, and up until Death Stranding, I thought was the best game trailer, was for Dead Island. The first one. Just the way, yeah, the slow in reverse and how they had that. That was a memorable game trailer for me. And I didn't even get to play the game. I just thought the way that they brought it forward and they introducing this new game was just brilliant. And they did well and it drew people in. Death Stranding is now officially that trailer, that number one trailer for me. I was not expecting it to be like 8-some-odd minutes or almost 9 minutes long. But I was so excited and so happy that it was. It showed a lot, well, what I think was a lot of gameplay. Does it clear up a lot of things? No, it doesn't. But you're getting more of the story. And with all of the hints, and it's funny how Hideo does this, and he's such a genius. Because he has been throwing hints and throwing out little teasers for what, almost 2 years now?
Yep.
And it's like you're a bit confused. Like, what do you mean? I don't remember exactly what he said verbatim, but it was like he brought into this whole thing in where people are, you know, people around you are connected, but we're also disconnected. And I can see that and how that translates into this gameplay trailer. And I love that I'm understanding more about what he released prior to that in this last couple of years that led up to it. And then that just opens up so much more questions about what's going on in the trailer. Other than Norman Reedus looks like a glorious UPS delivery guy. But like he was riding the motorcycle, the way that he's carrying out and swapping out weapons. And right. I'm also very curious about how this asymmetrical online multiplayer is going to play out. Because to me, looking at the trailer, I'm like, this looks like just strictly all single player. But like the asymmetrical online is supposed to offer something like you can't directly play with your friends, but you can visit the homes and you can leave, you know, supplies and you can check out. So I get that impression. It's just like the way that I was watching the trailer. So this has to do with like how the human mind wants to advance, but we're always so stuck in our past that some people have a hard time letting go. And I was just like, I am ready for whatever emotional roller coaster you're about to throw at me. And I will kid you not, I was at work and I texted my boyfriend, I need the collector's edition. And he was already in town and he tried to buy it, but I guess the SKU at GameStop wasn't available yet. I called my boss and told her I'm going to be late into work tomorrow. And she's like, okay, that's fine. What did I do? I went into town to go and pre-order this.
Wow.
And I have not pre-ordered a physical collector's edition in such a long time, but I needed to make sure I had this. And I saw a lot on the internet where there's a lot of people who had mixed feelings about the trailer. A lot of the fans and fanatics like me are super stoked, and a lot of people who are interested in the game but not quite on that level just kind of talked bad about it, like, what are you showing me? I don't understand. I'm like, do you need to know exactly everything that's going to happen? Because that's the one thing that I don't like about trailers, whether it be video games or whether they be movies, is where they show you too much of what's happening in the story that it's predictable when you play it. This one, I love that it's leaving you kind of hanging and asking these questions and pondering and brainstorming, because it just adds on to this experience that when you finally get to play it. And man, the graphics look so, so good. And absolutely. I was like, I got to the point, because I've said this multiple times, that my PS4 is giving me problems. You know, maybe I'll wait till the PS5. I will buy a PS4 Pro just to play this game. This is how invested into it I am. And somebody asked me, which one are you more excited for, Cyberpunk 2077 or Death Stranding? And I told that person to stop talking to me, because I don't know. Don't make me choose.
Don't make me choose, man. That's hard. That's very, very difficult.
It is. And like, now that we have this release date, November 8th, like, not coming to Thanksgiving, I'm going to be in my little hovel playing my game.
Listen, it's going to be crazy. This fall winter is going to be insane. Because you have Borderlands in September.
Yeah. Yeah, that. Oh, my goodness.
And whatever Destiny is doing in that fall time frame, right? Then you have the new season that starts tomorrow. Okay. And then you have Call of Duty the 25th of October. Then you have Death Stranding in November.
I'm good with the Borderlands 3 and Death Stranding. If those, yeah. I think those would be my two fall/winter games that I'm going to be getting, and that's all I need. We weren't as quick on getting the collector's edition of Borderlands 3, but I'm still going to get it. I'm still hoping, beyond all hope, that we find out a way so that we can play through the entire series again, which is a perfect time to drop this. So we don't have this on our notes, but PlayStation Plus for this month of June is a Borderlands Handsome Collection.
Are you kidding me?
No, I'm not kidding you. So it will be available for all PS Plus players on June 4th, tomorrow.
Tomorrow?
Tomorrow.
Oh my gosh.
So we got PS Plus Handsome Collection, which is awesome.
You know what's interesting about that?
What?
Is maybe it was about a week ago, they were selling it on the Xbox platform for $7.99.
Well, I can get on the PlayStation one for free. Free-ish. I mean, you still got to pay for your PS Plus.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. But no, I want that. I want that. Perfect timing to do that. Graphics are dope. Oh, man, I'm excited about that.
Now you're excited.
Oh, man. You know, I'm downloading that, like, immediately. Mm-hmm. So that's going to be dope. And then you have, you know, so I've been on Destiny playing not really the narrative stuff. I really been doing a lot of PvP, and you know, it has its frustrating moments and stuff like that, but that's been pretty exciting too, because I still can play PvP. I know I'm better at certain encounters when it comes to that. It could be Pride, it could be Evo, whatever, but there are moments where I know I just slam whoever's in front of me or whatever. So that's been fun. I've been really happy to get back into that groove. But yeah, so a lot of things happening. Cyberpunk, I'm excited about. Death Stranding, I guess what I want to say about Death Stranding involves like the different narratives that looks that converge. I think I'm using the right word in the right context. Maybe I am, maybe I'm not. But there's the person that's staying in the light, the person that is in the light and not so in the light. And then there's the person that's in the dark, right? So I think there are three different situations that they showed and three characters. They framed it in three different ways. Like it's three roads leading to a particular thing. When I was watching it, the 9 minutes that we saw. So there's that. And there's also the parts where you can meet different individuals and help them along the way. There's the side questing, portion of the game, if you will. And on top of that, trying to navigate and not get caught with the bridge babies, right? There's those things, which is the radar, or spider sense, if you want to call it that, detector for the black foamy thing that comes out the ground with the hands and stuff. And even the promo, which we can definitely touch on, the fact that they had the hands for the promo streaming for almost like a day plus until they actually revealed what was getting ready to happen, what was going to happen for that particular trailer. 9 minutes, I don't think we expected 9 minutes, maybe five, maybe four and a half or something like that. But 9 minutes is pretty crazy for a trailer. I have my reservations about midwinter games, because midwinter, and I can't even think of the name of the game right now because I'm so frustrated with the fact that I haven't seen anything about it. Scavengers, okay. Scavengers game, I'm excited about and still waiting for what they're going to show with that. But I think that what I long for is to see gameplay or even, you know, the alpha test for midwinter's Scavengers game, which we haven't seen. And the fact that we're seeing more from Death Stranding than we're seeing from Scavengers game is a concern for me. I don't know why it is, even though they're two different games completely. But maybe it's because of my desire to see what the individuals who used to work for the Halo team to some degree, a good portion of those individuals are not working on that particular midwinter team for Scavengers. So I have my reservations about that marketing. It's really been email, newsletter, some social stuff here, some Discord stuff there, some Twitter stuff here, but it doesn't seem to me like it's enough of a push for individuals to remain interested in it, because every post that I'm seeing for the scavengers stuff always talks about, well, when's the alpha testing? When is that going to come? Right. And I think that that is people are, I don't know if they're losing it as it relates to an alpha test for a game that we're looking forward to based on the design and what we know about it. But that's a whole nother thing. But in terms of how, as you mentioned, the 2-year teasers, picture here, a screenshot there, but it was enough of even the conversations, the interviews, they had enough substance. And I think that's what I'm kind of missing when it comes to the scavengers and the midwinter stuff. It doesn't seem like there's enough substance to hold my desire. You know, there's, you know, music clips here. That's great, but I need more, right? And I think that when we thought it was going to be completely dead or over as it relates to promos, and maybe Death Stranding is going to be on PlayStation 5, next thing you know, we're seeing hands on a screen and a streaming thing for a day for something that they were getting ready to promote, which was the 9-minute trailer. So there's a lot. There's a lot there. There's a lot to digest, and I'm sure people have ripped that trailer apart already. And you know, there was a licking of a face in one part, right? If I remember correctly. And then, you know, you got the baby thing, you got putting the ladder on the mountain kind of thing. You have the different conversations and the weird things that you see in certain, not all, but Japanese inspired, if you want to say that, titles, weird things. we saw a lot of that. So I'm excited for Death Stranding and what's going to bring. I'm glad that we're going to see it this year. If I remember correctly, I saw, you can fact check me on this, I think Shenmue was pushed again.
No, I didn't see that.
Yeah, I think that's what I saw. Something was pushed again.
Skull and Bones have been pushed back. That was delayed.
Yeah, I remember.
I am a little bit bummed about that.
Yeah, I think Shenmue was pushed again. Something was recently pushed.
It was delayed until November.
Okay, so I appreciate that. So yeah, so that's what I saw. So there's things, but Shenmue, I think what really helps for me, if I was doing the marketing for Scavengers in Midwinter, I would highlight the work of the individuals that did previous titles, right? Because it could be me, but I don't know if people realize that there are some key players from the Halo teams that are working on the Midwinter thing, right, for Scavengers. And I think that the fact that we know who Hideo Kojima is and all the games that we've seen him bring and how he's a legend, we're willing to wait, even though we don't understand what the game is about, we're willing to wait it out next year, even before we knew that it was going to be this year. We're willing to wait because we knew who was behind it. And I think that, to be honest, in my opinion, and I think I've talked about Scavengers more than anybody else that I've heard that are our colleagues, right? And that, in that regard. And it's because who's the team? Who's the cast? Can you tell me? Who's the voiceover people doing the stuff? Okay, what is the game about? The last thing you saw about the game, maybe before the E3 stuff that's getting ready to come out, is the stuff that you saw at the Game Awards. Outside of that, you didn't see any trailer. Besides that one, that's the last piece of content that we saw that was substantial, where it was shareable, you know, that quick across the world. Everything else has been snippets on the socials, which I mentioned already, and then the other stuff in the newsletter. So if it was me, I would highlight the cast. The point with that whole particular discourse is I would highlight the individuals who are on that team and to show exactly what they've done. You know, when you hear names like Troy Baker and stuff like that, or the other voiceover gurus, if you want to call them that, you kind of know what they've done. So if they decide to do a fan film, you're going to go watch that, you know, or you're willing to wait because you know it's coming. So what are you really waiting for when it comes to games like a Scavengers game? It's just, you know, just food for thought there.
A lack of marketing, because I wouldn't be able to tell you. I know Scavengers from you. And I think our first taste of it was, yeah, at E3 last year, the PC gaming show, right?
Not much after that.
Mm-mm.
Besides the Game Awards thing. So I would just highlight the actual players because they're big players on that team. So there is that. I'm excited and I don't think I'm worried. I'm just like, come on, guys. Like, have an interview with, you know, like an IGN. I know they're going to be on the stage at E3. They're going to have like different interview spots and stuff. And hopefully we're able to speak to them, you know, personally, be like, yo, what is this game? When is the alpha? These are questions that I'm going to ask if I'm able to do a video interview with them while we're out there, because I'm like, and I know y'all see my tweets. I'm with y'all, but let us know something that's substantial so people can root for the game. So there is that. Outside of that, that's really all I have for the new stuff. I have some additional thoughts, but I definitely want to hear your thoughts before I go into the other stuff that I'm thinking about right now.
I still want to know how the baby plays into everything. Like, I have my theories and assumptions. As you watch the trailer, it has a lot to do. Like, this is all just running. That's where my mindset. Has to do with life and death, the living and the dead. And I feel like the baby plays into the fact as it's a bridge between both worlds, and they're just using, it's obvious it's using it as a power source, but it's also obvious that it's not a fully developed baby. And I guess I can understand the ties and connections that an unborn baby is between that life and death, to be able to connect to both worlds and utilize it as a tool and a weapon that way, which I think is eerily genius in a weird, weird way. Like, that's the one, because like that's right now when you picture or think of Death Stranding, I think majority of people will think of the baby first and then Norman Reedus, because that was kind of like a shocker, like when you first see that baby, a little bit creepy. So I want to see that. I want to see how that all plays into it. And
thumbs up, baby.
Yeah. Crazy.
So weird.
I can't wait. You know what would make me so excited? And I'm so sad because I don't think I saw Kojima Productions on that list of studios that would be at E3.
Okay.
So I'm a little bit bummed about that. I mean, I know that it's going to be a PlayStation exclusive, but I figured that maybe Kojima Productions itself will be there to talk a little bit more about what we saw. Maybe a demo or something. And I'm like, it's not on there.
Yeah, so before I forget, so what I'll do is I'll link the Note 9 version of the Google camera and the S9 version of the Google camera and the notes. So I wanted to mention that before. But also it's on Discord. So definitely check us out at theshowradio.info/Discord. You can go into the Discord under software. I have some links in there as well. So definitely check that out. So you got anything else on Death Stranding?
Can it be November now?
Can it be November now?
Like, I know it's soon. 5 months, but...
Soon. So there's that. So definitely excited about that. Next thing, I guess, as I'm thinking about it, Call of Duty Modern Warfare has to be one of my favorites. I remember Call of Duty 2, 3... But I think Modern Warfare is the one that changed it for me. I think that's the one I really got behind to promote. I did play 3. I remember that. I didn't play 2 and 1 as much as I played 3. But once Call of Duty 4, I believe, if my memory serves me correctly, that is the Modern Warfare version of that. I was amped. I was telling everybody about the game. There was something special about that. The soundtrack is absolutely amazing. The gameplay was fluid. And from what we understand with Call of Duty, it was inspired by GoldenEye. And we had a great formula with that particular game ever since its inception, if you want to say that. So Call of Duty Modern Warfare changed it for me. I wasn't necessarily that big of a fan of the World War series, but I appreciated for what it was, because it was still Call of Duty in its essence, if you will. So the fact that they're making this one, and according to some of the notes that I saw earlier, as far as news is concerned, they're not going to have a zombie mode, or it has not been announced if they are planning to have one, but I think the way it read, they're not having one. You can fact check on that. That's fine. I'm okay with that. Because we have zombie modes in all the other games, you know, especially if you're a collector, so you have the other games. So I'm okay with not having a zombie mode in this Call of Duty game. And I know I'll probably play that one more than the past 3 or 4 Call of Duties that have come out. So there's that. I am a little Call of Duty out, if you will, but the fact that they're remaking Modern Warfare, I'm pretty hyped about. So That's what's going on with Call of Duty Modern Warfare. I'm excited. October 25.
Okay, so here's the big thing. What are your thoughts about the whole cross-platform play?
I don't mind that. I don't mind that. I think it's good. I think it's good that we get the opportunity to play, you know, other individuals. I think that why shouldn't we have that ability? You know what I mean? So whether it's mouse, I don't know if it's mouse keyboard versus, you know, the other guys or whatever. But I saw the crossplay. I was like, oh, that's cool. I wasn't offended by it. I wasn't mad about it. I was like, that's cool. I, you know, because we have to get to a place like totally different conversation, but I'm going to kind of go there and then come back. I can't stand Twitter right now. It's bad. Like, I can't be on it because it's like every time I'm on it, there's a negative thing. Like every other moment, nothing is positive on there. And it's crazy. But anyway, so I saw the crossplay thing and I was like, that's cool. It's crossplay. Let's have some fun. So that's just more people for me to shoot. Right. So I think about that, you know what I mean? That's where I'm at, you know, because as much as I want to believe that I don't play, you know, I'm not that competitive when it comes to those things. I was playing Destiny 2 earlier today and it was pretty competitive. You know, I don't like to lose. I don't think anyone does. Right. But when you know you're good and you have your vibe and you're feeling that you're doing, you know, you got your groove back, right? You're just, it's competition, you know, at its finest. And I love it. And that fluidity in Modern Warfare games, the ones that are iconic, whether it's Modern Warfare 2, 3, Black Ops 2, 1, it was okay. Black Ops 1 was all right. Black Ops 2 was good. I enjoyed that. 3 was cool. 4 was cool. But Black Ops 2 was something special for me. Modern Warfare was something special for me. So if they're going to do crossplay here on out, I don't know. But the fact that they're even considering it, let's have some fun, man. It's not all negative, you know. Let's talk about the positive things that are happening. And I'm critical, even touching on the scavengers thing. I'm critical on scavengers because I love what I saw. So my critique comes from a place of I'm anxious to see, right, what they're going to bring to the table. So if you are listening to this and you're saying, well, that's kind of negative, I'm like, all right, I'll take a hit on that. But I see so much, but I see the marketing too slow.
So Ruru says, I haven't played COD since Ghost and I might get back into this one. Are there co-op modes? That's I think you have more information on that. I'm not sure.
I remember that there were co-op modes in Call of Duty. I remember there were co-op modes in Call of Duty where they had to disarm things and do different things like that, you know, maybe mission intensive objective for a particular thing. So there were those things. I'm not sure how they're going to frame Modern Warfare, but if it's going to be very similar to the one that I remember with just better graphics, and if the story is going to remain the same, it's a great narrative.
He says, is there co-op for the campaign mode?
I'm not sure. That I'd have to check. We can definitely check on that. But in terms of the fact that they're doing a refresher for Call of Duty, no dogs, nothing crazy like that, and getting back to what made us love the game, it's really what they're doing is a rebranding of the series. Because maybe a week or two ago, if not that, there was a situation of the studios being switched so they can have a better focus on the product that they were going to bring out. So it's really a rebranding for them, and we'll have to see where that goes.
Yeah, I'm not too sure about that either.
Yeah, I want to throw in Modern Warfare because I have it for PlayStation 4. So I may have to revisit that to see how active people are in there playing it because it's a fantastic game.
They will have a panel at E3 though, so I'm sure they're holding back a bit more information just specifically for that. But I think like the biggest thing that they have announced, and with all that talking, is that there's that cross-platform play, which is awesome. Right. They aren't going to have the season pass. Right. And amazingly, I think there is some loose translation here, is that somehow even between all of that, PlayStation will still have some exclusive rights. There is a balance. There is something in there, but I think it's a really good step forward because, like you're mentioning, like there's no reason for us to not be able to have cross-platform play. You're seeing it happen more often than not. also right. is a lot better in people's wallets because they want to play with their friends. So now, right. at least this time, they don't have to double or triple dip to buy this game to play with their Xbox friends, play with their PlayStation friends, play with their PC friends. You can play them all at the same time, right. which we've seen has been incredibly successful for games like Fortnite or for Rocket League. So that's a good step forward. And I can see actually a whole lot more games doing that. And I think just to maintain is that whatever partnership they may have with PlayStation is that, yeah, there is some exclusives that will be on PlayStation first. Although right. they're getting rid of the season pass and they're just going to have a whole bunch of DLC free. That's, I think, is free, something like that, or a lot of like post-launch stuff that you guys can do.
We've talked about this. Oh. We've talked about this, right? Going back to the blueprint that we were mentioning with The Division 2. That was the test. And now other companies are following suit because there's no way you can come out with a game right now and do something crazy that's not very similar to what Division did with the DLCs and how they're, you know, doing the title updates for the game, talking about the game on a regular basis, doing the streaming stuff about almost every Wednesday or every other Wednesday, whenever they do that for State of the Game. All the stuff that they're doing there, if you don't follow that blueprint, they know. And it's a rebranding too for Call of Duty. If you do anything crazy outside of that, it's going to be bad before you even start. So,
do they mention anything about, you know, an upgrade or update or a new installment of their Battle Royale?
Like Blackout? I haven't heard anything about that. Mm-mm.
I am predicting that they are going to be, and I think that's also a nice, good drive as to why they're introducing the whole cross-platform play. Because, let's face it, free shooters like yeah. Fortnite and Apex are giving, I think, general shooters in that genre a run for their money. Because they want to pull in as much of the audience as they can, but it's kind of hard to justify why spend $50, $60 on a game when I can just play something for free and have just as fun. So,
as you were saying before, it goes back to the brand loyalty thing. Because if you're talking about, you know, Apex Legends, and most of the individuals who really got into Apex Legends wanted to go back and see what other titles Respawn has done. And that's still good for Respawn, but it's not necessarily good for other companies that are making shooters. So now a lot of individuals now, because of so much appreciation that they have for Apex, they're pretty stoked of whatever Respawn's going to do. And I think they're going to do that Star Wars thing, right? So that's the next thing. So you're pulling individuals into your ecosystem, as with any other product or brand, right? So now if you mess that up early, then any potential thing that you have to do, you have to apologize and you have to humanize the experience, as like Facebook is trying to do right now, for you to come back into the space and realize that, hey, you know, maybe I was hard on this particular platform or company. Maybe I should revisit them again, to the point where they're even changing the colors of the actual software, Facebook, from blue to like white or something like that, to make it very similar to something that you've trusted, right? Which was white for Apple, right? Blue for Facebook. So even the color rebrand, and Zuck's talking about smoking meats on YouTube, trying to humanize the company versus how he's run it for the last whatever amount of years. So all those changes, they're subtle, but if you're not careful, you can mess that up before you even get it off the ground. Mm-hmm. So they have to be careful.
Oh, we'll see at E3 what they have to announce. I know they got more under their sleeves there to showcase.
Definitely. So there's a lot going on with those things. I'm pretty excited about that. So E3 2019, literally right around the corner. The last couple of things I wanted to have is open up to you guys. If you guys have any questions for us in terms of growing pains, what we've learned from each other, you know, anything related to our experiences together since episode 340, that kind of a thing, please feel free to do that now. I didn't want to make it too show notes intensive. I know we wanted to talk about Death Stranding for sure, Call of Duty Modern Warfare. I definitely wanted to bring that camera stuff to the table, because I've been having a lot of fun with it, because it's amazing. It's doesn't even make sense why we shouldn't have that as a default or an option without that lacking, if you know, if you will. So those things I definitely wanted to mention to you guys. So if you guys have any comments for us, I'm pretty much out of the notes. So we've done what we had to do there. And if you guys don't have any questions or anything like that, we'll begin closing it out. I think that I am spoiled.
Okay.
You guys have no idea. I am spoiled to have Daniela. Okay.
I don't know what he's talking about.
I talk about Daniela all the time. I'm spoiled to have her because there are things that I never have to mention as it relates to show production. There's emails that I don't have to send, but I do send emails. There's conversations I don't have to have. Whether there was a disagreement or miscommunication, I don't have those challenges. Okay, so what I'm saying here is the challenges that people have allowed me to know about their groups and their teams, I can't relate. I don't have those challenges. Now I'm not happy that they're having those challenges, but I don't experience anything like that. So I am spoiled to have someone as capable, as intelligent, as hardworking, as Daniela. So, you know, kudos to
I'm
you.
I'm done. And, I don't know about these compliments.
I thank you for just being here with me and enjoying this journey. And that's all I have. You're special. And I don't think you give yourself enough credit for, especially the compliments thing, because I know you don't like, but this is, I'm gonna do it.
You're making me feel a little weird over here. Like, I don't want to look.
I'm spoiled. I'm super spoiled. To the fact that when we first started recording together, I saw individuals trying to fabricate the kind of what they believe was a cookie cutter template of what we had in terms of the vibes, if you will. And so I'm spoiled. I'm spoiled. And I'm just excited. I'm just excited for what we've been able to do together in terms of, you know, the production stuff, the relationship, you know, our families and all that good stuff. So thank you so much for being here with me.
Now we have 500 more to do. You can get to 1,000.
Let's do it. Let's do it. So I'm excited. So that's all I have. If you guys don't have any questions, Daniela, it's all yours.
Oh, I got questions. I got questions for you. So we're here. We're about like teaching and expanding and, you know, and letting people know like it's not that hard to start your own podcast, or it's, you know, it's not as complicated to be able to attend E3. So E3, this will be my third year, second year being able to get the media pass. The first year I got the gamer pass because I didn't get in the first time like that. And it's like I get the impression I see some people who are attending for the first time this year. A couple new names that they're excited, and I see them buying some really expensive stuff. I personally don't think you need all that expensive stuff. Like, it's nice to have little upgrades and if you can afford it, but not to go out there. So what are you packing in preparation for E3?
Okay, what am I, like hardware stuff?
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
Hardware. So, and if you're picking... Do you bring any snacks? Because let's face it, we are running around so often that being able to find a meal, time to eat a meal, is almost impossible. We're just lucky if we go to places that have free food right there.
Yeah, free food is definitely dope. So the press conferences and areas have usually a section where you can get chips and water and that kind of thing. For snacks, I may do you know, food bars or meal replacement bars. I can do those things. Water bottle. I usually have my water bottle. I make sure it's empty. So once I cross over, you know, the plane stuff, then I could put water on it on the other side, that kind of a thing. One pair of jeans, one belt, one sneakers, 5 to 6 pairs of socks, 5 to 6 pairs of t-shirts, of course, underwear stuff and all that stuff, grooming stuff. So you have that. That's a standard. For electronics, I'll probably do my tablet. I'll probably do my phone, which is the essential piece that I need, because that's going to be my video piece. My audio adapter, my Saramonic audio adapter, I need that. I need my XLR cables. I think there's 3 cables, one major, and then the splitter, and then the two that connects the two mics, tripod. I need that because we can carry tripods. Press can carry tripods as well as registered camera crew can carry. So I'll have my tripod and I'll have my book bag. I'll have a small earbud, a wired earbud, because I don't want to lose any Bluetooth earbuds. I'd be upset if I bring a headset that's Bluetooth that I really like and I lose that. So I'm not going to bring that. I'll bring just a lightweight kind of thing. So that will take care of that. Money on the Uber card is going to get taken care of. I'll probably do the super shuttle once I land. That will take me to the local area for LA Live. What else will I bring? Maybe one sweater for the plane because I don't want to be too cold or anything like that. Dr. Scholl's are in my Converse, so I'm already set for that from last year. Q-tips I'll probably do at the hotel stuff. So that's really the major stuff. I'm not bringing my laptop this year. Maybe USB drives if I need that, but companies usually have either their media kits, and their media kits are usually on 2 gigs to 8 gigs of a USB drive. So you'll probably have that to take with you from like a vendor or a developer or publisher or whatever. So there's that. But no laptop this year. And that should cover most of the essentials.
So it sounds like a lot, but really, like, even with your hardware equipment, then it's not really that expensive because what, our XLR cables, they're from Monoprice, right?
Yeah.
I think they're like $10, $11.
Right.
It really wasn't bad. I think the most expensive thing other than the phone is really the Saramonix, which I think was 30.
Yeah. It was like $39.99 or something like that.
$40 about there. So. The super, yeah,
but it's the quality. But you figure the quality that you're getting, because what you're doing is you're taking an audio adapter that is operated by a 9-volt battery, right? Which is like a dollar and change at B&H, okay? If you have B&H near you, or you can get at any. Rather than waiting to, don't wait till you get out there to get the 9-volt battery. If you're getting like a Saramonic or anything that operates batteries, get it locally because you know you're going to get it cheaper. And so do that. But when I have a mic like this one or the one that you have, the XM8500 Behringer, when you have that quality and the ambiance on the show floor, that's way better than trying to capture audio with just your phone and the mics that are built in. Okay. And it's a totally different experience when a developer or whoever sees that you have a tripod and you have mics. They're more willing to do stuff with you in the future because they know that that content is going to be uploaded somewhere, most likely YouTube, and anybody can access that content locally or internationally. So it is to your benefit to spend. Technically, if you had none of these things, but you had your phone already, it's about like $205, because I remember doing like a numbers crunching of all the stuff from the $15 tripod to, like you said, the wires and stuff like that, the Saramonic, you know, and taking all that and totaling it all up. And let's say you have an interview half an hour away. Okay, so let's talk about the Broman thing real quick. If I didn't have that mobile thing with me that day, I would never be able to capture that moment. At all.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So what's the price of that? Was it worth $205 of having all the pieces already in the car and then walking into the spot where he was like, hey, man, I want to be on your podcast. And what if I didn't have the stuff?
Then having to re-coordinate, I'm like, OK, we'll do it this time. That's hard, especially when you have somebody who is as busy as a schedule as Broman does.
That's what I'm saying. So, you know, so why not have all that stuff in advance? So you can go to your local pub or a spot where, you know, that's decent enough lighting and just capture that conversation that you're the only one that caught, you know, within that time frame. That's priceless to me. Mm-hmm. And I think that spending the money, as you mentioned, like that's. You probably already have the pieces. You're probably spending the money now on other things that really don't matter to what you really want to do, right? I'm not telling you how to spend your money, but you probably spent the money already on stuff that
you
really
have.
Be helping, right? Your branding, your content creation, your whatever, right? because the mics are $19.99. The XM8500 are $19.99. I wish I had those mics. So I had to find a way to get SM58s. One I still have to repair. So now I could just do the two mics that I have because I know what their branding is now and they're pretty good. But I had to repair one of the SM58s. And I had to ask my church, because they had extra mics that they weren't using, if they can donate it. So you can do that. Go to your local church. If you have a local church that you attend or some kind of organization like that, they probably have mics in a box that they don't know what to do with. And it's probably $100 mics, like a SM58. You never know. So things like that.
Yeah, it's always about getting the best bang out of your buck. Because I don't know. I don't know about everybody else, but I just don't have money pouring out everywhere. But to be smart about it. And on top of that, like, there's some big things. I've seen some people like wanting to buy. You got to think that you're going to be up and you're going to be walking and you're going to be carrying that weight. And so unless you have like a full production crew, that's going to be you and maybe your partner, if you're lucky, lugging this around. And you know what I saw, what I noticed a lot, and it's based off of the E3 floor plan. A lot of these things are like appointments and the emails that are going out are off site.
Right.
So they're not all centrally located. You have to like run yourself across somewhere else to some other hotel. So be, you know, keep in mind about how much you're going to be carrying, how much you're going to be lugging around. Like, yeah, there are lockers there for the media to put their stuff in. But if you need a lot of that equipment, try to pack as light as you possibly can when you're going to be carrying.
Right. So y'all want secrets, right? So here's the secrets. Can we share secrets?
Yeah, sure.
Here's the secret, right? There's something special about, like, of course, building relationships with the companies. That's pretty neat, right? But when you have that equipment readily available, it speaks to how serious you are about your craft. And the more serious it seems that you are about your craft, the more the company is going to be willing to do for you or with you, right? So take, for instance, the C40 controllers, right? The C40 controller comes in different packages. There's a retail package and there's the launch day package. I did an interview with Astro about the C40 when they came here in New York City, right? Of course, I had my stuff. I had lugged the tripod, the cables, blah, 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 et cetera, et cetera. As I'm framing different conversations that I had to make sure that I don't, you know, spill any beans I'm not supposed to spill. The bottom line is just be professional and be prepared. Okay, because that goes a long way to getting you the opportunities and relationships that you're trying to build with the companies. Okay, so there's that. Okay, just be professional and be prepared, and you'll probably get more than you bargained for getting there. That's from experience. Just take that as like, just write that down. Be prepared, be professional. It goes a long way. Okay, so there's that. So the other thing too is, as you're building the relationships, right? Follow-up is key. I've heard it in the past. I've heard it from, you know, business, you know, seminars and stuff like that. But I can't tell you how many more opportunities that I received because of the follow-up email, the thank you for taking the time to see me, blah, blah, blah. It was great seeing you and your team talk about this and that. And it allowed me to have deeper insight about the things that you're doing, blah, blah, blah. I appreciate your time. You know, that email, that conversation after you had it verbally before you left has gotten me so much more stuff than I anticipated for. So there's that. So follow up is super key. Okay. And even today I had to follow up on some stuff and I was like, thank you. Right. Okay. So a meeting that we got recently was because of a please and thank you on social media. It's not hard. And I think that the individuals that are really excelling and relationships and building their Rolodex of companies and all that stuff are the people who are still being human and still showing that they're courteous and they're grateful for the opportunities that they're getting. Those are the individuals that are moving forward. If you think you deserve the thing, you're entitled to the thing, it's your right, which is the same thing as entitlement, to have those things, then you're not going to grow. You may grow a little bit, but you're going to get fined out because that little PR group. It's like the size of a small city in Africa. I use Africa because that's just the other, you know, like the smallest town in Africa. That's like, that's your PR companies right there. They all know each other. That's the point. All of them by name. They know their kids' names. I'm just telling you, they know each other. So if you think you're going to mistreat, you know, assistant PR publicist person over there, and then they're not going to find out across the street, you already lost. So little things like that.
Courtesy goes a long way.
Courtesy is important. Courtesy is extremely important. And then the lazy thing that I had to learn, you got to apply to these events because you never know. What if they say yes? That's the other thing. E3 this year wasn't easy, but the application process was easier because they broke it down in every single category of what a content creator is. So if you're a podcaster, you can apply as that. If you're a Twitch person, you can apply as that. If you're a YouTube person, you could, you know, you get the point. So it was so clear cut on where, who you were. There was no way. I mean, it's been improved from last year to this year. We saw the improvement of the actual application process. So when I'm telling people that, you know, either I game with locally or whatever, or we stream with on a regular basis, just apply to the stinking event. You never know. You could be going right now.
Mm-hmm.
And why aren't you going? Because you didn't apply. Because, I mean, I don't know how much simpler we can make it. I can't make you apply. You got to want that, right? And you're talking about, you know, to put it into perspective, that badge is worth a lot of money in terms of the cost of admission, I'm sure. But if you lose it, it's $500. So if you lose it, it's $500.
No,
how much is it worth?
No, it's not 500. It's 1,000. It's 900 something.
Okay, so how much is it worth then? So it's like, you know what I mean? So all you have to do is like, okay, you have a whole year to think about whatever the event is. It doesn't even have to be E3. It could be a local event coming up. It could be a con that's coming up in your hometown. It could be a mixer that's happening very close by to your area. It could be any of those things. Like, just apply. Get your email in there so that you can start receiving like the announcements of those companies that are going to attend. And I'm sure one or two of those companies are companies that you actually want to deal with, right? Stuff like that.
Never know.
You never know. You never know. So I'm really
packing life. What is that? That old saying? You miss 100% of the shots you don't take.
Yeah. So you got to take a shot. You got to take a shot. And one of the emails I replied back today, there was a product that was mentioned in the email, and I was like, so what happened? The other product wasn't available. So this was after I sent him the address information. After I sent him the address information, I was like, wait a minute, that's not what I remember. Okay, so let me go back. Let me Google what I thought I wanted, because I don't need it. I want it, right? So looked it up. I was like, that's not the same thing. Email again. Be like, well, what happened? The other thing wasn't available? Oh, we're going to make sure it's the right thing, blah, blah, blah. But it's just a follow-up. And even if it's the wrong thing that comes, it's still an opportunity for me to check out a product that's not here.
Mm-hmm.
I just want to see if I can get what I wanted. You know what I mean? Like if I can do that, I still want to see if I could do that. So I think what I've learned, I think my excitement, my joy comes from not really hanging around a lot of people who are negative. That's the other aspect of it too. As I'm thinking about it, I don't hang out with toxic people.
Oh, nobody should. That's like just a general practice that everybody should have.
I would think. Right? We would think, right, Daniela? Mm-hmm. But, you know, especially if they're not going where I'd like to go, if they're not heading into the media production, if they're not encouraging me to push forward to the next thing or continue to apply, then I don't really need to be hanging out with them. I mean, like you said, those are lessons that, you know, our elders have been telling us ever since we were younger. And it applies here, right? If you're not creating content, you're not trying to do another podcast, you're not trying to go to a major event, you're not trying to build your brand, you're not trying to stream or anything like that, what do we have to talk about?
Nothing.
Like, really? Nothing. I'm active in ministry and stuff like that. Most people know that. You know, there's just certain conversations that I would like to have you know, on an intellectual level with individuals as it relates to whether it's the faith-based thing or even the media production stuff. And if you're not part of that world, like, well, we can still high and hug and high five, but after a while, I'm going to want to talk about the things that are like literally part of my DNA now. 500 episodes in, that's really not really the number if you count what we didn't count. It's more.
Mm-hmm.
So what are we talking about? So I think that I can't encourage individuals enough to just go after it. And I believe we're still learning. There's a lot of things that I don't know. So what I can't get from my colleagues, I got to read books, listen to tapes, go to functions, you know, and learn those things and then bring those things back, share them here, either on a podcast or with Daniela. So that way we learn for next time. Even watching somebody is a great experience. And I think that when Daniela was hanging out with me, when we first linked up for the E3 stuff, it was a different vibe. I'm different when I'm there than when I'm here. It's still me. It's just the business me, mm-hmm. not, you know. And I think that everybody has those elements, you know, in them as well. But you just got to go for it because it's there.
See, I'm glad I asked you a question. Now we can
you
close
got any
out
more for me.
No,
we can close out.
We can close out.
Okay, sweet.
Just wanted to know what you're packing. That's kind of because mine is pretty much the similar same thing. Just my two mics, XLR cables, the Saramonic. Which is funny because at the ending of E3 last year, we didn't have this at E3 last year, the Saramonic adapter. You actually stopped somebody to ask them, do you know if there's an adapter that exists? And like, you were on a mission once you got home to find something that fit that need, and you found it.
Absolutely.
So if you can think of it, something that is like possibly out there that would make your life easier, it probably does exist. You just need to search for it. Yeah, that's kind of like all I'm really bringing. I don't I probably pack too much clothes. I like variety, but that's my own personal problems.
You got two bags of clothes?
No, just one big suitcase and a duffel bag.
Wow.
Packing light.
Yeah, okay.
But yes, thank you for joining us for episode 500. This can be found on our website, theshowradio.info, and as well as your favorite pod catchers. You know what? 140 episodes, and I still have a hard time just saying those two words together full, like, flawlessly. Like, I have to slow down. But you can find us on Spotify, Google Play, and Apple Podcasts. And until then, you're going to see a bunch of stuff probably being posted randomly throughout all of next week for E3, and we'll come back in 2 weeks. And we're just going to like just have this massive download of everything. It's going to be great. And so then you guys can also go and just Google up E3. They have all of the schedule about all the showcases that are going to be happening. It starts this Saturday, I think, is the very first one. And the official first day of E3 is next week, Tuesday. So everybody have a great week, and we'll see you for the next episode. Bye.